Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and today we're going to continue with our reading of Article 41, picking up where we left off at 41.2. I don't know how much I'm going to get through today. We are so close to the finish line. Man, there's very little left of this contract, and I really want to get it done. So we'll see. We'll see how things go today. I mean, you'll already know how much progress we make today, but I don't know yet. So I'm going to find out. Here we go. Section 2, seniority. Oh, 41.2. Section 2, seniority. A, coverage. 1. This seniority section applies to all regular workforce letter carrier craft employees when a guide is necessary for filling assignments and for other purposes and will be so used to the maximum extent possible. And I must digress already, that entire thing, not a single comma. Dude, I think I want to make that like a point, at, you know, bring that up at the National Convention. Can we get a comma committee along with our parking committee and our, dude, all right, anyway. On to the commentary. Conversions from part-time flexible to full-time status are made in strict seniority order, even if an employee is on limited or light duty. In the letter carrier craft, there are currently no exceptions for any reason, either involuntary or voluntary. National arbitrator Richard Mittenthal ruled in blah 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 that management did not violate Article 41.2.8.1 when it refused to allow letter carriers to use their seniority to choose from among assignments which were available on a certain day. Mittenthal also ruled in blah 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 that a past practice of assigning available work to the senior PTF was not binding. 41.2.8.2. 2. Seniority is computed from date of appointment in the letter carrier craft and continues to accrue so long as service is uninterrupted in the letter carrier craft in the same installation, except as otherwise specifically provided. Article 41.2.8.2 establishes the general rule that a letter carrier's seniority is computed continuously from the date of appointment in the letter carrier craft if the carrier serves without interruption in the carrier craft and works in the same installation. Note that Article 41.2.D provides for exceptions to Article 41.2.8.2's requirements that for a carrier's seniority to be computed continuously from the date of appointment in the letter carrier craft, the carrier must serve without interruption in the carrier craft and work in the same installation. 41.2.8.3. 3. No employee, solely by reason of this article, shall be displaced from an assignment the employee gained in accordance with former rules. The purpose of Article 41.2.8.3 is to avoid displacing employees from bid assignments gained under earlier national agreements if there are any changes in the national agreement's seniority rules. 41.2.B. B. Definitions. 1. Seniority for bidding on preferred letter carrier craft duty assignments and for other purposes for application of the terms of the national agreement shall be restricted to all full-time and full-time flexible regular city letter carriers. 2. Part-time regular letter carriers are considered to be a separate category and seniority for assignment and other purposes shall be restricted to this category. Part-time regulars may use their seniority only in that category. Upon reassignment to part-time flexible or full-time status, part-time regulars begin a new period of seniority. 41.2.B.3. 3. Full-time reserve letter carriers and any unassigned full-time letter carriers whose duty assignment has been eliminated in the particular delivery unit may exercise their preference by use of their seniority for available craft duty assignments of anticipated duration of 5 days or more in the delivery unit within their bid assignment areas, except where the local past practice provides for a shorter period. 4. Part-time flexible letter carriers may exercise their preference by use of their seniority for vacation scheduling and for available full-time craft duty assignments of anticipated duration of 5 days or more in the delivery unit to which they are assigned. City carrier assistants may exercise their preference by use of their relative standing as defined in Section 1.F of the General Principles for the Non-Career Complement in the DOS Award for available full-time craft duty assignments of anticipated duration of 5 days or more in the delivery unit to which they are assigned that are not selected by eligible career employees. Application. There is no difference in the application of opting hold-down rules between part-time flexibles and city carrier assistants. Pecking order. Hold-down assignments are awarded to eligible career letter carriers by highest to lowest seniority first, then to eligible CCAs by highest to lowest relative standing in the installation. 5. A letter carrier who, pursuant to subsections 3 and 4 above, has selected a craft duty assignment by exercise of seniority shall work that duty assignment for its duration. Opting on temporary vacancies. Article 41.2.B.3, 41.2.B.4, and 41.2.B.5 provide a special procedure for exercising seniority in filling temporary vacancies in full-time duty assignments. This procedure, called opting, allows carriers to hold down vacant duty assignments of regular carriers who are on leave or otherwise unavailable to work for 5 or more days. Full-time reserve, full-time flexible, and unassigned full-time letter carriers may opt on vacancies of fewer than 5 days where there is an established local past practice. Article 41.2.B.3. Eligibility for opting. Full-time reserve letter carriers, full-time flexible schedule letter carriers, unassigned full-time carriers, PTFs, and CCAs may all opt for hold-down assignments. CCAs may opt for hold-down assignments 60 calendar days from the date of first appointment as a CCA. Once a new CCA has met this requirement, there is no additional waiting period for applying for / being awarded a hold-down when the employee is reappointed as a CCA or converted to career. If a newly hired CCA previously served at least 60 calendar days as a CCA or career city letter carrier, this rule does not apply. All unassigned regulars have opting rights, regardless of the reason for the unassigned status. And there's a citation here. Although Article 12.3 of the National Agreement provides that, quote, an employee may be designated a successful bidder no more than 6 times, end quote, during the contract period, a national settlement, here's a citation, establishes that these restrictions do not apply to the process of opting for vacant assignments. Moreover, opting is not, quote, restricted to employees with the same schedule as the vacant position, end quote. And there's a citation. Rather, an employee who opts for a hold-down assignment assumes the scheduled hours of and non-scheduled day of the opted assignment. See schedule status and opting. National Arbitrator Bernstein held blah, blah, blah in blah, blah, blah citation, that an employee may not be denied a hold-down assignment by virtue of his or her potential qualification for overtime pay. For example, an employee who works 40 hours Saturday through Thursday is eligible for a hold-down which begins on Friday, even though he or she will earn overtime pay for work in excess of 40 hours during the service week. An otherwise qualified employee on light duty may not be denied hold-down assignments as long as the employee can perform all of the duties of the assignment. The national parties previously agreed that probationary employees may not opt. There's a citation. However, this restriction was modified with the subsequent agreement that CCAs may not opt for the first 60 calendar days of their first appointment as a CCA, and once the CCA has met this requirement, there is no additional waiting period. Carriers acting in 204B supervisory positions may not opt for hold-down positions while in a supervisory status. And there's citation. A national pre-arbitration settlement, citation, established that an employee's supervisory status is determined by PS Form 1723, which shows the times and dates of an employee's 204B duties. Duty assignments eligible for opting. Vacancies in full-time non-carrier technician assignments, including reserve regular assignments, are available for opting. When a reserve regular carrier opts on an available assignment, his or her temporarily vacated reserve regular position becomes available for opting if vacated for 5 days or more. However, as is the case with any opt, a carrier on an opt for a reserve regular assignment must work the assignment for its duration and is not eligible to opt on any other assignments for the duration of the opt. Vacant routes under consideration for reversion are available for opting until they are reverted or filled, provided the anticipated vacancy is for 5 days or more. And there's a citation. However, not all anticipated temporary vacancies create opting opportunities. Carrier technician positions are not available for opting because they are higher level assignments which are filled under Article 25 of the National Agreement. Auxiliary routes are not available as hold downs because they are not full time. And there's a citation. Full time flexible positions are not subject to opting because they are not bid assignments. Except where a local past practice provides for a shorter period, vacancies lasting less than 5 days need not be filled as hold downs. Clarifying the meaning of this 5-day requirement, National Arbitrator Kerr held that opting is permitted when vacancies are expected to include 5 or more work days, rather than vacancies that span a period of 5 calendar days but may have fewer than 5 days of scheduled work. And there's a citation. However, these anticipated 5 days may include a holiday. There's another citation. An employee does not become entitled to a hold-down assignment until the anticipated vacancy actually occurs. Thus, an employee who successfully opts for a vacancy that fails to materialize is not guaranteed the assignment. Temporarily vacant carrier technician assignments. Temporarily vacant carrier technician assignments are not filled under the opting provisions of Article 41.2.B.3 and 41.2.B.4. Rather, they are higher level assignments filled under the provisions of Article 25. And there's a citation. Posting and opting. The National Agreement does not set forth specific procedures for announcing vacancies available for holddowns. However, procedures for announcing vacancies and procedures for opting for hold-down assignments may be governed by LMOU or past practice, and that's in M-0446. The LMOU or past practice may include method of making known the availability of assignments for opting, method for submission, a cutoff time for submission, a duration of hold-down. In the absence of an LMOU provision or mutually agreed upon local policy, the bare provisions of Article 41.2.B apply. In that case, there is no requirement that management post a vacancy, and carriers who wish to opt must learn of available assignments by word of mouth or by reviewing scheduling documents. Duration of holddown. Article 41.2.B.5 provides that once an available holddown position is awarded, the opting employee, quote, shall work that duty assignment for its duration, end quote. An opt is not necessarily ended by the end of a service week. Rather, it is ended when the incumbent carrier returns, even if only to perform part of the duties, such as to case but not carry mail. Exceptions to the duration clause. There are situations in which carriers temporarily vacate hold-down positions for which they have opted, such as vacation. Such an employee may reclaim and continue a hold-down upon returning to duty. There's a citation here. If the opting employee's absence is expected to include at least 5 days of work, then the vacancy qualifies as a new hold-down within the original hold-down. Such openings are filled as regular hold-downs, such that the first opting carrier resumes his or her hold-down upon returning to duty, until the regular carrier returns. A CCA's 5-day break in service between 360-day terms does not end an opt. A 5-day break in service can only create another opt opportunity if it creates a vacancy of 5 work days. In such case, the opt is for the 5-day period of the break. An opting employee may bid for and obtain a new permanent full-time assignment during a hold-down. A national pre-arbitration settlement, blah, 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 established that such an employee must be reassigned to the new assignment. If there are 5 or more days of work remaining in the holddown, then the remainder of the holddown becomes available to be filled by another opting carrier. An employee on a holddown assignment may accept a temporary supervisory position. However, the holddown must be reposted for the duration of the remainder of the original vacancy, provided it is for 5 days or more. A carrier who has accepted a 204B detail only retains the right to the holddown until it is awarded to another letter carrier. An employee on a holddown assignment may voluntarily terminate the assignment to accept a higher level assignment under the provisions of Article 25. In such cases, the vacancy must be made available for opting during the duration of the original vacancy, provided it is for 5 days or more. Involuntary reassignment and holddowns. The duration provision in the national agreement generally prevents the involuntary removal of employees occupying continuing holddown positions. National Arbitrator Bernstein, citation, held that an employee may not be involuntarily removed from or denied a holddown assignment in order to prevent his or her accrual of overtime pay. See eligibility for opting. For example, suppose an employee who worked 8 hours on Saturday then began a 40-hour Monday through Friday holddown assignment. Such an employee may not be removed from the holddown even though he or she would receive overtime pay for the service week. Article 41.1.8.7 of the National Agreement states that unassigned full-time regular carriers may be assigned to vacant residual full-time duty assignments for which there are no bidders. However, National Arbitrator Mittenthal ruled that an unassigned regular may not be involuntarily removed from a holddown to fill a residual full-time vacancy. And there's a citation. Of course, management may decide to assign an employee to a residual vacancy pursuant to Article 41.1.8.7 at any time, but the employee may not be required to work the new assignment until the holddown ends. However, the employee may voluntarily choose to end the holddown assignment at any time and assume the new assignment in this circumstance. Removal from holddown. There are exceptions to the rule against involuntarily removing employees from their holddowns. PTFs and CCAs may be bumped from their holddowns to provide sufficient work for full-time employees. Full-time employees are guaranteed 40 hours of work per service week. Thus, they may be assigned work on routes held down by PTFs or CCAs if there is not sufficient work available for them on a particular day. And there's a citation. In such situations, the PTF's or CCA's opt is not terminated. Rather, the PTF or CCA is temporarily bumped on a day-to-day basis. Bumping is still a last resort, as reflected in a Step 4 settlement citation, which provides that, here's the settlement, a PTF temporarily assigned to a route under Article 41, Section 2.B, shall work the duty assignment unless there is no other 8-hour assignment available to which a full-time carrier could be assigned. A regular carrier may be required to work parts or relays of routes to make up a full-time assignment. Additionally, the route of the holddown to which the PTF opted may be pivoted if there is insufficient work available to provide a full-time carrier with 8 hours of work. This rule applies to CCAs. There is no difference in the application of opting rules between PTFs and CCAs. However, a CCA may be bumped from an opt if necessary to provide 40 hours of straight time work over the course of a service week to PTF letter carriers assigned to the same work location. Article 7, Section 1.C. In this situation, the opt is not terminated. Rather, the CCA is temporarily bumped off the assignment as necessary on a day-to-day basis. Another exception occurs if the LMOU allows the regular carrier on a route to bump the carrier technician to another route when the regular carrier is called in on a non-scheduled day to work on his or her own route. In such cases, the carrier technician is allowed to displace an employee who has opted on an assignment on the technician's string if none of the other routes on the string are available. In such cases, a part-time flexible or city carrier assistant employee's opt is not terminated. Rather, he or she is temporarily bumped on a day-to-day basis. And there's a citation. PTF and CCA pay status and opting. Although a PTF or CCA who obtains a holddown must be allowed to work an assignment for the duration of the vacancy, he or she does not assume the pay status of the full-time regular carrier being replaced. A PTF or CCA who assumes the duties of a full-time regular by opting is still paid as a PTF or CCA as appropriate during the holddown. While they must be allowed to work the assignment for the duration of the vacancy, PTFs and CCAs are not guaranteed 8 hours daily or 40 hours weekly work by virtue of the holddown alone. PTFs do not receive holiday pay for holidays which fall within the holddown period by virtue of the holddown. Rather, PTFs continue to be paid for the holiday per Article 11.7. CCAs receive holiday pay in accordance with Article 11.8. Schedule status and opting. Employees on hold downs are entitled to work the regularly scheduled days and the daily hours of duty of the assignment. And there's a citation. These scheduling rights assumed by all hold down carriers, whether full-time or part-time, create some of the most perplexing problems in the opting process. In the area of schedule status, two key distinctions must be considered. First, there's a difference between a guarantee to work and a right to days off. The second distinction involves the appropriate remedy when an opting employee is denied work within the regular hours of a hold down. Scheduled days and opting. The distinction between the guarantee to work certain scheduled days and the right to specific days off is important. An employee who successfully opts for a hold down assignment is said to be guaranteed the right to work the hours of duty and scheduled days of the regular carrier. It must be noted, however, that days off are assumed only in the sense that a hold down carrier will not work on those days unless otherwise scheduled. In other words, a hold down carrier is not guaranteed the right to not work on non-scheduled days. Of course, this is the same rule that applies to the assignment's regular carrier, who may, under certain conditions, be required to work on a non-scheduled day. For example, suppose there is a vacant route with Thursday as the scheduled day off. The carrier who opts for such a route is guaranteed the right to work on the scheduled work days, but is not guaranteed work on Thursday. This does not necessarily imply that Thursday is a guaranteed day off. The carrier on a hold down may be scheduled to work that day as well, either on or off the opted for assignment. However, management may not swap scheduled work days with days off in order to shift hours into another service week to avoid overtime or for any other reason. To do so would violate the guarantee to work all of the scheduled days of the hold down. Remedies and opting. Where the record is clear that a PTF or CCA was the senior available employee exercising a preference on a qualifying vacancy but was denied the opt in violation of Article 41.2.B.4, an appropriate remedy would be a make-whole remedy in which the employee would be compensated for the difference between the number of hours actually worked and the number of hours he or she would have worked had the opt been properly awarded. In those circumstances in which a PTF or CCA worked 40 hours per week during the opting period, or 48 hours in the case of a 6-day opt, an instructional cease and desist resolution would be appropriate. This would also be an appropriate remedy in those circumstances in which a reserve letter carrier or an unassigned letter carrier was denied an opt in violation of Article 41.2.B.3. In circumstances where the violation is egregious or deliberate, or after local management has received previous instructional resolutions on the same issue, and it appears that a cease and desist remedy is not sufficient to ensure future contract compliance, the parties may wish to consider a further appropriate compensatory remedy to the injured party to emphasize the commitment. Uh-oh, I just accidentally scrolled here. There we go. The parties may wish to consider a further appropriate compensatory remedy to the injured party to emphasize the commitment of the parties to contract compliance. In these circumstances, care should be exercised to ensure that the remedy is corrective and not punitive, providing a full explanation of the basis of the remedy. 41.2.B.6. Relative seniority standing. A. In cases of appointment on the same day, where there is a tie in seniority, the relative standing on the appointment register will determine the more senior carrier. CCAs do not have seniority, but do have relative standing. Relative standing for CCAs is addressed in Appendix B1, General Principles, Sections F, G, and H of the 2019 National Agreement. Appendix B is the reprinting of Section I, which I still presume is Roman numeral 1, of the 2013 DOS Award, the creation of a new non-career employee category. Provisions of the DOS Award that were modified in the 2019 National Agreement are indicated in bold. Those provisions that are reflected in another part of the National Agreement or Joint Contract Administration Manual are not reprinted herein. 1. General Principles. F. When hired, a CCA's relative standing in an installation is determined by his or her original CCA appointment date to the installation, using Article 41.2.B.6.A where applicable, and adding the time served as a city letter carrier transitional employee for appointments made after September 29, 2007 in any installation. G. when the Postal Service hires new city letter carrier career employees, CCA employees within the installation will be converted to full-time regular career status to fill such vacancies based on their relative standing. A CCA who does not accept the career opportunity will not lose his or her relative standing for future career opportunities. H. CCA employees may be separated at any time during their term of appointment for lack of work. Separations for lack of work shall be by inverse relative standing in the installation. Such separations are not grievable except where the separations are pretextual. CCAs separated for lack of work will be given preference for reappointment ahead of other CCAs with less relative standing in the installation if the need for hiring arises within 18 months of the separation. Relative standing for CCAs. All time spent on the rolls as a city letter carrier transitional employee after September 29, 2007 will be added to CCA time in an installation to determine relative standing. Breaks in transitional employee service are not included in the relative standing period. Relative standing earned as a CCA in one installation does not transfer to another installation under any circumstances. However, an employee is still credited with all time spent on the rolls as a city letter carrier transitional employee after September 29, 2007 when determining relative standing in this situation. If a CCA is employed in an installation, then permanently moves to a different installation and then is subsequently re-employed in the original installation, the CCA would begin a new period of relative standing in the installation, but augmented by the time served as a city letter carrier transitional employee for appointments made after September 29, 2007 in any installation. In circumstances where two or more CCAs have the same total time credited for relative standing, placement on the relative standing roster will be determined by the order of placement in the hiring list, appointment register, from highest to lowest. See Article 41.2.B.6.A. If a tie remains, then the formula outlined in Article 41.2.B.7 is applied. The provisions of Article 41.2.B.6.A, referenced in Appendix B.1 General Principles, Section F of the National Agreement, are applied as follows. If more than one CCA is appointed on the same day, the relative standing will be determined by the order on the hiring list. If CCAs are hired from more than one hiring list on the same day, relative standing will be determined by applying the rules in Handbook EL 312, Section 441, Basic Order. 1. Applicants who claim 10-point preference based on a compensable... just a second, getting a phone call. It was for me. Let me figure out where I was. 2. Applicants claiming other 10-point preference, XP, and applicants claiming 5-point preference, TP, are placed ahead of non-preference eligible applicants with the same final rating. 3. XP eligibles are placed ahead of TP eligibles with the same final rating. To resolve any ties, numerical by the last three or more numbers, using enough numbers to break the tie, but not fewer than three numbers, of the employee's Social Security number from the lowest to the highest. Final numerical rating and final rating as referenced above are determined by adding the individual score on the entrance exam and any applicable veterans preference points. B. Part-time flexible letter carriers shall be converted to full-time positions of the same designation and PS salary level in their order of their standing on the part-time flexible roll. When there is an opportunity for conversion to career status in an installation, and that installation has both PTFs and CCAs available for conversion, the PTFs are converted to full-time regular prior to offering conversions to CCAs. When there is a career conversion opportunity for a CCA, it must be offered to CCAs on a highest to lowest relative standing order basis within an installation. Under the Memorandum of Understanding regarding full-time regular opportunities, City Letter Carrier Craft, a CCA has the right to decline an opportunity for conversion to career status. Rejection of an opportunity for conversion to career status does not impact the employee's relative standing as a CCA in the installation. Therefore, the opportunity for conversion to career status will repeat itself as career city letter carrier positions become available for CCA conversions. Under the Memorandum of Understanding regarding City Carrier Assistance, Conversion to Career Status, CCAs may decline the opportunity to be converted to career status. A CCA who does not accept the career opportunity will no longer be eligible for conversion to career status under this memorandum, but will retain his or her relative standing and will remain eligible for conversion to career status under the Memorandum of Understanding regarding full-time regular opportunities, city letter carrier craft. 41.2.B.7. 7. Seniority tiebreaker. Except as otherwise specifically provided for in this agreement, effective the date of this agreement, when it is necessary to resolve a tie in seniority between two or more carrier craft employees, the following criteria shall apply in the order set forth below. A. Total continuous postal career service in the carrier craft within the installation. B. Total postal career service in the carrier craft within... What? Oh, okay. First one is total continuous service, and then the second one is total service, not necessarily continuous. C, total postal career service in the carrier craft. D, total postal career service. E, total postal service. F, total federal service as shown in the service computation date on the employee's Form 50. See letter of intent, page 226. Seniority tiebreaker. The seniority tiebreaker provisions of Article 41.2.B.7 come into play only if, quote, relative standing on the appointment register, end quote, rule of Article 41.2.B.6 fails to resolve a tie in seniority. In that case, the tie is resolved by applying the tiebreaking steps of Article 41.2.B.7, A through F. Each step is applied in sequence until the tie is broken, i.e., if A does not resolve the tie, then B is applied, and so forth. The leave computation date, currently box 15 of PS Form 50, is used to determine total federal service for the purpose of applying Article 41.2.B.7F. There's a citation. When more than one employee is placed in full-time career city letter carrier duty assignments in an installation on the same date through either transfer slash reassignment or CCA conversion to full-time, placement on the seniority list is determined by the following. If two or more full-time career assignments in an individual installation are filled on the same date by only CCAs, placement on the career city letter carrier craft seniority list will be determined based on the relative standing in the installation. When two or more full-time carrier assignments in an individual installation are filled on the same date by only career employees through reassignment or transfer, placement on the city carrier craft seniority list will be determined by application of Article 41.2.B.7 of the National Agreement as appropriate. Current career employees will normally be placed ahead of CCAs on the seniority list when two or more full-time career assignments are being filled in an individual installation on the same date from both reassigned and transferred and CCA employees. An exception may occur when the CCA with the highest relative standing has previous career service. In such case, the CCA will be placed ahead of the career employee only if he or she is determined to be senior to the transferred slash reassigned employee by application of Article 41.2.B.7 of the National Agreement. In no case will a CCA with lower relative standing be placed on the seniority list ahead of a CCA with higher relative standing who is converted to career on the same date in the installation. 41.2.C. C. Responsibility for administration. The employer shall be responsible for the day-to-day administration of seniority rules. Every installation, station, branch, and/or delivery unit shall have a roster posted in an appropriate place listing all carriers in order of seniority number or relative standing. Said roster shall be updated during the months of July and January of every calendar year. D. Transfers, separations, etc. Changes in which seniority is restored as if service had been continuous. And there's a colon. Oh, because there's the subsections to 41.2.D. All right, we'll get to those. Article 41.2.C and 41.2.D contain some of the exceptions to Article 41.2.8.2's requirement that for a city or for a carrier's seniority to be computed continuously from the date of appointment in the letter carrier craft, the carrier must serve without interruption in the carrier craft and work in the same installation. All right, now we get to 41.2.D.1, which are the changes that were referenced before. All right, number one. On reinstatement or reemployment after separation caused by disability, retirement, or injury on duty or resignation because of personal illness, and the employee so stated in the resignation and furnished satisfactory evidence for inclusion in the personnel folder, the employee shall receive seniority credit for past service and for time on the disability retirement or for the injury or illness if reinstated or reemployed in the same postal installation in the same or lower PS salary level from which originally separated. Whoa. Provided application for reinstatement or reemployment is made within 6 months from the date of recovery. The date of recovery in the case of disability must be supported by notice of recovery from the Bureau of Retirement, Insurance, and Occupational Health, Office of Personnel Management, or Office of Workers' Compensation Programs. And in the case of injury on duty or resignation due to illness, by a statement from the applicant's attending physician or practitioner. 2. Letter carriers who enter the military shall not have their seniority broken or interrupted because of military service. Letter carriers restored to duty following military service will have their full uninterrupted seniority restored even if involuntarily returned to an installation other than the one they left. Historical note. The 1971 National Agreement, which covered all 7 crafts, contained the following provision in Article 12, Seniority, Section 2. On restoration in the same craft, in the same installation after return from military service, transfer under letter of authority or unjust removal, employee shall regain the same seniority rights he would have if not separated. Alright. Doesn't look like I'm going to get to 41.3 today. I'm starting to wear down. Alright, anyway. In the 1973 National Agreement, the new letter carrier craft seniority provisions deleted the in the same installation language in the new Article 41.2.D.2 language. In contrast, all the other crafts have retained the in the same installation language in their craft seniority provisions. Consequently, letter carriers returning from military service are provided a different level of seniority protection than those returning to other crafts, which only allow uninterrupted seniority if the employee returns to the same installation. 41.2.D.3. Letter carriers in leave without pay status while serving as union officers on either part-time or full-time basis shall retain their former seniority and have their seniority computed as though they had remained in an active duty status. 4. Letter carriers who are restored to duty in the same installation after unwarranted or unjustified separation shall have their seniority computed as though they had remained in an active duty status. 5. Letter carriers who are changed from a higher level position within the letter carrier craft to a lower level position in the letter carrier craft, whether voluntary or involuntary, shall not have their seniority broken. There are other exceptions to Article 41.2.8.2's requirement that for a carrier's seniority to be computed continuously from the date of appointment in the letter carrier craft, the carrier must serve without interruption in the carrier craft and work in the same installation. On returning to the letter carrier craft following assignment to another craft to work a permanent light duty or limited duty assignment, Article 13.4.I. Upon involuntary reassignment because of A. the discontinuation or consolidation of an independent installation, B. the transfer of a classified station or branch to the jurisdiction of another installation, C. the creation of an independent installation out of a classified station or branch, or D. a delivery unit optimization event. And there's a bunch of citations here. 41.2.E. E. Change in which seniority is modified. When mutual exchanges are made between letter carriers from one installation to another, the carriers will retain their seniority or shall take the seniority of the other exchangee, whichever is lesser. Article 41.2.E applies only to mutual exchanges between two PTFs or between two full-time carriers. This contractual provision does not mean that exchanging carriers exchange their routes as well as their positions. The routes involved in the exchange are posted in accordance with the provisions of Article 41.1. Note that the ELM provides the following. 351.61, Mutual Exchanges, General Policy. Career employees may exchange positions, subject when necessary to the provisions of the appropriate collective bargaining agreement, if the officials in charge at the installations involved approve the exchange of positions. Mutual exchanges must be made between employees in positions at the same grade levels. The following employees are not permitted to exchange positions. A. Part-time flexible employees with full-time employees. B. Bargaining unit employees with non-bargaining employees. C. Non-supervisory employees with supervisory employees. Effective with the 2006 National Agreement, for the purposes of mutual exchanges, all full-time city letter carriers are considered as being in the same grade. And here we have a memo between the USPS and the NALC regarding mutual exchanges. The parties agree that in applying the relevant provisions of Section 351.6 of the Employee and Labor Relations Manual, city letter carriers in grades CC-01 and CC-02 are considered as being in the same grade. This agreement applies solely to determining whether employees are eligible for mutual exchanges. Date September 11, 2007. For additional information on mutual exchanges, see JCAM pages 12-50 through 12-51. 41.2.F. Return from any position for which selection was based on best qualified. Effective July 21, 1978, when an employee, either voluntarily or involuntarily, returns to the letter carrier craft at the same installation, seniority shall be established after reassignment as the seniority the employee had when leaving the letter carrier craft without seniority credit for service outside the craft. Permanent supervisory positions, but not 204B positions, Article 41.1.8.2, are among the positions for which selection is, quote, based on best qualified, end quote. This provision can be understood only when read in conjunction with Article 12.2.B.2. When these two sections are read together, they provide for three different situations concerning the seniority of a letter carrier who leaves the bargaining unit for a position based on best qualified, and who then returns to the carrier craft in the same installation on or after July 21st, 1978. 1. If the carrier left the unit prior to July 21st, 1973, then Article 41.2.F would apply, and the carrier would pick up whatever seniority he or she had at the time of departure from the unit, but would not receive credit for time spent out of the unit. 2. If the carrier left the unit on or after July 21, 1973, and returned within 2 years, then Article 41.2.F again applies, and the carrier would receive credit for the seniority he or she had prior to leaving the unit. 3. A carrier who left the unit on or after July 21, 1973, and returns later than 2 years following the date of departure, begins a new period of seniority. Article 41.2.F does not apply, rather Article 12.2.B.2 takes care of the entire matter. And there is a chart here that explains the same thing that we just discussed. If you want to see the chart, check out page 41-23. Note that the above rules do not apply in situations where an employee is awarded a best qualified position in a different installation and later returns to the letter carrier craft in the original installation. In such cases, Article 41.2.8.2 requires that the employee begin a new period of seniority. Arbitrator Snow held in such and such decision that when a former supervisor is reassigned to the letter carrier craft, his or her part-time or full-time status is to be determined by reference to the seniority provisions of the agreement. If a former letter carrier in a supervisory status transfers to another installation, all seniority is lost, and the former supervisor can only be reinstated as a PTF. Ha, take that, supervisor. Seniority cannot be regained even if the employee subsequently returned to the installation where he or she served as a letter carrier. The loss of seniority is permanent regardless of whether the employee spent more or less than 2 years as a supervisor. Here's a memo between the USPS and the NALC regarding city carrier assistant return from non-bargaining unit position. A CCA who leaves the bargaining unit for a non-bargaining unit position and returns to the city letter carrier craft loses any relative standing earned as a CCA. The employee must return as a CCA unless he or she will return with the highest relative standing in the installation, and there's a full-time vacancy in the installation. In these instances, the employee may be returned to the craft as a career employee. Any exceptions to the above require mutual agreement of the national parties. 41.2.G. G. Changes in which a new period of seniority is begun. 1. When an employee from another agency transfers to the letter carrier craft. 2. Except as otherwise provided in this agreement, when an employee from another USPS craft is reassigned voluntarily or involuntarily to the letter carrier craft. An employee from another Postal Service craft who is transferred, either voluntarily or involuntarily, to the letter carrier craft will begin a new period of seniority, except when the assignment qualifies under the provisions of Article 13.6.A pertaining to cross-craft reassignments of employees for the purpose of assuming light-duty assignments. 3. When a letter carrier transfers from one postal installation to another at the carrier's own request, except as provided in subsection E of this article. 4. Any former employee of the U.S. Postal Service entering the letter carrier craft by reemployment or reinstatement shall begin a new period of seniority, except as provided in subsections D.1 and D.4 above. 5. Any surplus employees from a non-processing and non-mail delivery... This is why I'm about to stop. 5. Any surplus employees from non-processing and non-mail delivery installations, area offices, or the United States Postal Service headquarters begin a new period of seniority effective the date of reassignment. And this brings us to Article 41.3, Miscellaneous Provisions. This is a fun one, but it is way too long for me to get through. What you guys don't know, because of when these episodes release, is that the episode on route adjustments I recorded right before I started recording this one. And so I've been at this for quite a while. So anyway, that's going to do for today. When we come back next time, we've got the fun one, 41.3, Miscellaneous Provisions, which is not terribly long. But regardless, we'll get into that next time. For now, let's sign off, get out of here. Thanks for listening. I will catch you next time.